good morning and welcome to the KUNM Collins Show. I'm your host, Kathleen Sabo. Whether we observe or celebrate Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead, All Saints Day, All Souls Day, or a mix of all, this time of year brings an opportunity to share in communal rituals that remind, unite, and excite. Today we'll be looking at seasonal rituals and traditions, their origin and evolution, and how they blend, and we'll share information about some exciting and rich events coming up this weekend. Joining me in the studio for today's exploration is Elsa Menendez. She is an education outreach coordinator at the National Hispanic Cultural Center here in Albuquerque. Welcome to you, Elsa.
Thank you so much, Kathleen.
Please, thank you for joining us. Joining us by phone from Santa Fe is Armando Espinoza Prieto, artist, videographer, and editor for the Metamorphosis Documentation Project. Welcome to you also, Armando.
Good morning.
Good morning. And hopefully we'll be joined later by poet, writer, musician, and artist Jaime Chavez. Armando, we talked a little bit yesterday in preparation, and you revealed a bit of your background. I know you live in New Mexico now, but you've had quite a varied upbringing, and you've lived in many places around the world. Tell us a little bit about your travels and your upbringing, please.
Well, I was born in Cuba, and I left Cuba when I was 12 years old. I moved to Puerto Rico. I lived in Puerto Rico for 30-some years. And then I moved to Boston and hated it, and came to visit New Mexico and loved it. So I've been here for like 19 years now.
Well, as art, and welcome to New Mexico, 19 years of just about how long I've been here. As artist, videographer, and editor for the Metamorphosis Documentation Project, you've embarked upon a project associated with this time of year. Can you tell us a bit about your project, please?
Yes. Well, first of all, Metamorphosis Documentation Project is a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to try to protect, preserve, and promote traditional cultures. We document public rituals and dances in their cultural setting, and do part of our work is community work. We work with the community where we film, ideally with the museum, community museum in the community, and in a collaborative process, we do these projects, and then when we produce a documentary, we give the documentary to the community. We give them with the right to reproduce the documentary for the exclusive benefit of the community museum. Then, when we're here in the United States, we send them to film festivals. We do talks. We try to promote those cultures. We've been working on a project that it's going to be a long-term project, like 5-6 years, of Day of the Dead, and documenting Day of the Dead in various countries and or ethnicities. For example, in Mexico, we're planning to do 2 or 3 of them. We've done one in Bolivia and one in Oaxaca so far.
And are you planning on doing one in New Mexico? Did I see that on your website as well?
Well, it's complicated. We were going to film here in New Mexico this year, but I've had some health issues, and it was just not possible for me to do it. So, you know, yes, probably in New Mexico we'll document in the future. But next year, since we couldn't do it here this year, next year we're going to try to do one in Pátzcuaro. We've already done some of the research there and some of the legwork, so we expect to be filming in Pátzcuaro next year.
Okay, well, we'll dig into your project more, but first let's let our audience get to know our panelists a bit. We do have Jaime Chavez, and welcome, Jaime, this morning.
Thank you.
So come on in closer to the mic there. You are a native New Mexican. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in a community right across the river on the other side of the tracks, on the other side of the Rio Grande, and it's called Atlixco, and it's the original name, and it means lugar sobre el agua, place on the surface of the water.
Is it a land-grant community?
It is. It's a land-based community. It's a mixed-blood community of mestizo and Native Americans that have all come together in this beautiful amalgam of rich tapestry of New Mexico people and history. And my family's been in that area for 500 years and another 20,000 years from our indigenous ancestry.
Well, tell us a bit about your traditions around this time of year growing up, please, that you celebrated.
Well, here in New Mexico, really the Day of the Dead was celebrated quite quietly, okay? And I think as a result of colonization and what have you, it's the day of highest tithing in the church. Huh? So people remember the souls of the dead and of their ancestors. And here in the local pueblos, it is still celebrated in the traditional Mexican way of offerings, of offering food, okay, for the journey of the spirits of our ancestors. And basically that tradition, now with the big influx of Mexicanos and immigrants into this area, is bringing that culture, I think, and really kind of cross-pollinating again, if you will, that vast history and legacy of the land-based Mexicano people, and really sharing that in the cultural way. And that's what we're doing now.
Well, so clearly then you grew up celebrating Dia de los Muertos. Did you celebrate Halloween as well?
Well, you know, we live in North American society, you know. I mean, if you want to talk about the commercialization of death, that's a whole philosophical, you know, discussion in itself. And, you know, when you talk about the resurrection of holidays and you talk about, really digging back deep into your own cosmic memory, if you will, that this goes back to the time of the Mexica people, to the Aztecas, and to the month of Mitlantecuhtli. And basically what this is a way to honor the children who have passed on. Huh? And so in our communities, and what I've been doing as a writer and as a poet now for a number of years, is bringing together, I think, the spirit of poetry, which is, I think, the base of the gathering and of the production that we're doing here at the Chemo Theater, and really showcasing the best poets and the best singers and the, you know.
Now, we'll get to your event in a bit, but I am curious, because obviously you can speak from a historical perspective, but growing up, did your relatives share with you from where your rituals and traditions came?
Yes, of course, but as you know, a lot of that has been muted by being in this system as such, right? We never learned the history of our country because, of our nacioncito, as Cleophas Vigil would say, because basically we were, taken into the North American system. There's a history here, okay? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to 1846 now, which is the Mexican-American War. And these land grants that you referred to a while ago, these ejidos, no, is the same historical tapestry, if you will, that exists in Mexico. So this is an extension. This is a doorway to all of that. And so that history has been preserved, and it's carved into our own DNA, if you will. It's at the root of what we are. And so that expression, no, that poetic expression, very much like in Mexico, no. And it's about ritual, and it's about satire, and it's about looking at death in a different way than how it's portrayed here in this country.
And again, we'll get back to that. Let's bring Elsa into our conversation. Elsa, I reached out to you at the National Hispanic Cultural Center because I saw that the center was putting on an event this Friday evening that enables people to participate in a seasonal event. And this is a quote, a synthesis between Mesoamerican beliefs and European influences, unquote. And can you describe the event and that synthesis for us, please?
Sure. The event is our despedida, but before I get to that,
please,
I'd love to talk a little bit more about the fact that we, at the center, we really, the Day of the Dead, the Dia de los Muertos, is a very important celebration And we actually have a month-long set of activities that we do. And part of our interest is in, of course, connecting culturally with our community, but also really connecting with children and with families and kind of deepening the understanding of this celebration and keeping it, you know, alive and continuous. I do want to just say that I, too, am a transplant like Armando. My family is my father was Cuban, and I was born in Puerto Rico. My mother's Puerto Rican. So one of the things that I find interesting about this celebration is that that almost every culture has some way of trying to address or deal with the idea of death. And one of the beautiful things to me about the Día de los Muertos traditions that are most predominant in Mexico and throughout Central America and South America as well, but there's a very strong tradition in Mexico, is that it really offers a kind of a window into a discussion about death that can begin from a very early age and be more fluid and less scary than I think it can be in this country.
You know, and I see that with my children who are now – I grew up in Connecticut.
Okay? I did too.
So we didn't celebrate Day of the Dead.
Right.
I wasn't aware of it. There was not this entry in, and yet my children are New Mexicans. They were born here. And there's a much different comfort level with death, and they've made ofrendas.
Right.
And they just have a different perspective.
And one of the things that we do at the center is every year we do a lot of outreach to schools directly talking about Día de los Muertos and also bringing some of the traditions into a school to create things like the calaveras de azúcar, the sugar skulls, or small ofrendas, you know, more contained ofrendas. But we also encourage and gather ofrendas for an exhibit at the center, and they are created by schools from all over the state, predominantly in Albuquerque, but sometimes we get them from outside of Albuquerque, and also by local artists and local groups. And so we have an exhibit that's about, again, 3 weeks long for people to come and look at ofrendas and learn a little bit more about them. But yes, exactly. One of the things that I love about this time of year is that I can have conversations with – yesterday we had a group of 2 to 5-year-olds as well as kindergartners as well as high school students who come in, and we can have different levels of depth discussing the idea of death. And while there is a link to the Día de los Muertos that is obviously religious in origin, the conversation doesn't have to be religiously based in religion entirely. It can be about the idea that people come and go, that there's a cycle of life, and that what we want to do is find ways to remember, to honor our sadness, but also to honor the love and the joy and the humor that we had, hopefully, while we were enjoying the life of the person who's now passed. So to get back to our event, we every year do these exhibits, and then we have a lot of different community outreach to create different objects that can go on ofrendas. And then we have a despedida every year, which is the farewell, kind of marking the end of the season. And this year it's on Friday, November 1st, and it's from 5:30 to 7:30 in the Education Building at the National Hispanic Cultural Center. It's totally free. And we basically open up a very informal space for people to come and remember, to look at the ofrenda exhibit, to add to our community ofrenda. So we encourage people to bring photographs or objects that belong to people that have passed and to add them for the evening to the community ofrenda. We also have usually live music and often poets that come and read and honor people that way. And then we also have some of the traditional foods. We have pan de muerto, and which is a kind of a sweet bread. And we have chocolate, hot chocolate, which are both traditional elements of the celebration.
And I believe we have links up to everyone's events, and we'll hear more about individual events. But I do want to say that if you would like to join in our discussion about traditions and rituals you participate in at this time of year, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post comments on the Call In Show webpage at kunm.org, or you may call our local number, 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number, 1-877-899-5866, with questions and comments. Tell us, do you participate in rituals this time of year? Have they been passed down, or have you created your own? We'd like to hear from you after we take this short break.
If you have a product or service that you wish more people knew about, KUNM can help. Donate to KUNM's Gift of Community auction, and you can upload as many pictures and words as you need to tell your story. Plus, link back to your own website. Get highlighted just before the holiday to KUNM's listeners and to 40,000 cause-driven bidders nationwide. See how easy it is. Click through to the auction from KUNM.org or call me, Catherine, at 277-0177.
I'm Stephen Spitz, the host of New Mexico People, Places, and Ideas. This Friday morning at 8 a.m., we will try to answer the biblical question, will the poor always be with us? My guest is Scott Miller, the founder and CEO of Circles USA, a nationwide anti-poverty organization trying to eliminate poverty one family at a time. We will ask why there's a need for Circles, how it works, and talk about the new Circles location right here in Albuquerque this Friday morning at 8 a.m.
Good morning and welcome back to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're talking about seasonal rituals and tradition. Joining me in the studio for today's exploration are poet, writer, musician, artist, and more, Jaime Chavez, Elsa Menendez, Education Outreach Coordinator at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, and joining us by phone, Armando Espinoza Prieto, artist, videographer, and editor for the Metamorphosis Documentation Project. So welcome back to all of you. And Armando, let's bring you back into the conversation. You're up there in Santa Fe by yourself, and we want to make sure you have an opportunity to tell us a little bit about your event coming up. And we have three events, and none of them conflict. So it makes for a rich weekend. So tell us about your event coming up on Sunday here in Albuquerque.
Yes, we'll be presenting our latest film on Day of the Dead. It was filmed in Oaxaca, in the town of Teotitlan del Valle. It's a Zapotec community. It's traditional and modern, and they still have a pretty traditional Day of the Dead celebration. The showing will be at the South Broadway Cultural Center Thursday, November 7th at 7 p.m., and right before, we'll introduce the movie with a short talk about indigenous Catholicism and how it manifests in the celebrations of Day of the Dead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but is it the film showing on Sunday at noon as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. The film, they're showing it as part of their celebration of Day of the Dead. On Sunday at noon, but we won't be there. And then on Thursday, we'll be there to present it and answer questions, whatever.
Now, one of the things I imagine that you are documenting is how different these celebrations are from community to community. Is that accurate?
Yes, it's very accurate. Every indigenous group, every cultural group has their own way of honoring their dead, and they've had, you know, those celebrations before the Spanish arrived in America, and then they blended with the Catholic traditions, and in each instance, in each ethnicity, created a slightly different way of honoring the dead. Like I mentioned, we did a documentary in Bolivia, and even though there is a lot of similar aspects and the form is very similar, and there is very big differences also. And the differences are not only on the indigenous part, the differences are also in the Catholic part. And within Mexico, the celebrations, the Zapotec celebrations that we filmed, are very serious, subdued. They're about preparing to receive the dead, and it's not a remembrance of the dead. It's an actual sharing of time with the dead. There is this certainty that the souls of the dead are there with them.
Okay. Jaime, let's talk about an event right here in Albuquerque, a way that the Albuquerque community or part of it is celebrating or commemorating. You are the producer and director of an event being held this Saturday night at the Chemo Theater. Tell us about that event, please. What brings all of you together?
Well, we've been doing this for a while now, and some of the original poets that we brought in, two of them, and one of them is going to be on this program, is Jimmy Santiago Baca. And he's very well known because, you know, he has a number of books, Martin and Meditations on the South Valley. You know, he's been around. He also is the director of Blood In, Blood Out. And, you know, he captivates, I think, what is, you know, like having an eye on the world, you know, really what is going on. And Simon Ortiz, a Native American brother here from Acoma, was another person, you know, who comes from that as well. What Armando was just saying is so true because, you know, there is the tradición, okay, I have to go to a velación, okay, the night before, on Friday night, okay, para celebrar, no, y the spirits, no, las ánimas, no, and there is an evocation, no, to bring these spirits, to commune among these spirits, no, and at the Chemo, and I love the theater because it's so beautiful. It was built in 1927, and Chemo basically means it means cougar in Tewa, without a doubt, you know, we're going to have these spirits. There is a spirit in the Chemo as well, and we're going to have Hakim Bellamy, who's the poet laureate of Albuquerque. He's going to be there, and some young, I think, really dynamic women poets like Sara Roman and Olivia Romo. They're going to share their words. And Damian Flores, who's a very, very well-known poet as well. They come out of, there's a whole debate about spoken word and poetry, you know, which is another, is a mm-hmm. whole thing, you know. And then Fidel Gonzalez, who is actually a Mexica, who is going to be here playing Aztec percussion, you know, is going to be backing, well, myself up. And Desiree Harp, who is from California. She's a Native American woman who's working to revive her Wapo tribe from the San Francisco area. And she has like 13 years of opera singing experience, and she sings in her native language. So it's like, you know, not that she's the next Buffy St. Marie or anything like that, you know, but without a doubt, she's just going to, you know, really evoke the spirit in the Chemo. And we have our altar as well, no, para las ánimas that night, con pan de muerto y con las candelas and what have you, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. We have some incredible painters that are going to be there. Eric Cristo Martinez, whose work was just acquired by the Museum of Albuquerque. I mean, that's quite a big deal, you know. And he, you know, has been doing this, you know, on the issue of death for a while. And Hakim just texted me. That's my phone. I can't stop the texting, but he says to say hi to you, Kathleen.
Well, when you get an opportunity to text, please tell him I said hello as well. Well, let me bring someone else in, Jaime, and we can jump back because it's Maria Brasil, I believe. And Maria, you are one of the organizers of the Marigold Parade. So welcome to our conversation, and we'd love for you to tell people about the parade that's happening this Sunday.
Gracias. Thank you for the opportunity.
De nada.
Estamos en el 21 año de esta celebración. El tema esta vez es sin miedo, sin papeles. Our ancestors are our documentation. Y queremos invitar a toda la comunidad para celebrar con nosotros. Empezamos este domingo, el 3 de noviembre, a las 2 de la tarde hasta las 6 de la tarde. Vamos a tener el desfile y empieza en la calle Camino Familiar y Isleta, y terminamos en el centro comunitario Westside Community Center. Vamos a tener comida, vendedores, música, y queremos que todos nuestros vecinos y comunidad vienen a gozar con nosotros, y pues es todo.
And thank you, Maria. And do you mind if I speak English with you? Because although I can understand you, I would embarrass myself if I attempted to have a long conversation with you. Okay. So Sunday, 11-3, November 3rd, from 2 to 6 p.m. And when I went to your website, maybe I ought not to have been surprised, but to see the human rights aspect that is highlighted, sin papeles, sin miedo, you know, without papers, without fear, no papers, no fear, people are not illegal, our ancestors are our documentation. Is this a long-running tradition of the Marigold Parade to sort of keep in mind this human rights aspect of things?
The parade has always been a cultural event, a cultural celebration. We are not celebrating on the Day of the Dead. We try to always have it a little bit farther along after people do their family celebrations, or we want it to be a cultural celebration. It's sort of in the honor of Jose Posada Guadalupe, who a lot of people have seen his artwork. He was he made broadsheets, and he used satire as a way to talk about political events. And so the parade has always tried to honor his memory by allowing for this aspect of satire, speak out political relevance to the year that we are celebrating, and in a way to honor our ancestors that have come before us.
And we have Elsa Menendez here in the studio from the National Hispanic Cultural Center, and you have a float. Your center has a float in the parade?
We are. This year is our first year participating as a center. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're very excited. We've always come to the parade, but now we're going to actually be in it.
Tell us a little bit about that float, if you will.
Well, we're primarily focusing on bringing a group of our students, our kids that we work with in the summer. We do a summer institutes with kids aged 8 to 18, basically. And this year we're going to, for the first time, have a group of kids from our Circo Latino program, which is a circus-based summer program for kids that are 8 to 13. And so we are going to have a lot of kids on stilts and some on unicycles. And of course, we'll be dressed as the calaveras, with the traditional sort of skeleton face. And we do have a little shtick, if you will, a little routine that we'll do when we stop pause in the parade. And it is politically based, and the idea is to kind of bring up the conversation about the border. Of course, we don't actually talk because it's hard to project on a parade route, but we'll enact something that hopefully will stimulate conversation or ideas.
And Maria, you're still on the line?
Yes.
We also have by phone today from Santa Fe, Armando Espinosa Prieto, who is with the Metamorphosis Documentation Project. I just want to bring him into this conversation because he has been looking at celebrations around the world. So, Armando, we've spoken a little bit about the human rights aspect, the fact that the float from the Hispanic Cultural Center is going to be a little bit political in nature. Does that surprise you at all, given what you've seen around the world, or do you see additions like that in other places?
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. There is a big community of immigrants in this country, and immigrants bring with them not only their traditions, but their need to participate in those traditions. And as we were talking yesterday, and you asked me what was the most important thing I wanted to convey about Day of the Dead, and I was saying that, and I told you that I always say that the most important thing of these rituals is that they bring the community together. They bring the family and the community together, and that creates a sense of belonging and well-being. And if that's not political, I don't know what it is. But But I think that, that coming together of people with the same interests helps create community, and that's a very good thing.
Maria,
I think every time that we speak our own languages and celebrate our customs and traditions, it is an act, a political act.
Yep, I agree.
All right. Well, Maria, thank you for calling in today and for giving us some information. And
sure, I just wanted to say that anyone can have an altar. Just come to the Westside Community Center, show up at noon, and todos están invitados a poner un altar en el gimnasio. Ven a comunicar conmigo, María, o con Karen. Ella es la que está encargada de todos los altares.
Okay. Thank you for joining us today, Maria. Appreciate you calling in. Gracias. Let's go to our next caller. It's Sheridan from Santa Fe, who wants to talk a little bit about pagan origins. Good morning, Sheridan.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. And you today?
I'm good.
Good.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to quickly say, because I have to get to work, but I'm a member of a pagan group. It's a religious organization that tries to reenact the European religion of the indigenous people. And this time of year is called Samhain to us. And we also remember our loved ones who have passed on and our ancestors. We feel it's the time of year when the veil is the thinnest, and we communicate with our dead, too. So I just wanted, to let you know that there is a European tradition like that, too.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Sheridan. Elsa, you wanted to just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, just the fact that Dia de los Muertos is really a remarkable blending of traditions that range from the Mesoamerican indigenous people of Mexico and Central and South America, but also are very influenced by European elements and traditions that are linked to Christianity. And, you know, this whole period of time is a combination of celebrations by different cultures that, you know, again, mix Christianity, pagan ritual, Mesoamerican traditions, you know.
When I was preparing for the program yesterday, I thought, let me take another look at the origins of Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos, and people who've been influenced it, and also Halloween. And the list was 100 countries or traditions, everything from Haitian voodoo to Portugal to you name it. And Japan now, looking at things, New Zealand has a large celebration. Jaime, you wanted to talk a little bit?
Just to encapsulate, it's an old Hallows Eve and the Aztec month of Mitlantecuhtli.
And it's more than just a one-day celebration. Is that accurate?
Right. I mean, again, as Armando has pointed out, and Jaime as well, you know, all over, wherever you find celebrations of Dia de los Muertos, there are a variety of ways of approaching it. Some communities celebrate it for only a day. Some celebrate it for a traditional 3 days. Some for a whole month. But one of the main traditions is around a kind of 3 day period that includes the 31st of October, the 1st of November, and the 2nd of November. And those encapsulate kind of All Hallows Eve, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. And again, very heavily influenced by Christianity. Dia de los Muertos is often celebrated on November the 1st. But it can, you know, again, it can range. It can also be a 3 day celebration where you prepare your altar, you prepare your foods, you welcome the spirits, and then you also say goodbye. And you know, very much like some of our smaller communities in the U.S. that celebrate Memorial Day in kind of more expanded ways. Dia de los Muertos also can include going to the cemetery, cleaning off grave sites, freshening them, bringing flowers, having picnics. You know, there's a connection that is not just about remembering, as again Armando pointed out, but is about really connecting with the spirit of the person who has passed. And as that caller Sheridan just pointed out, there's this idea that this is the time when the doorway between the two worlds is essentially open, and there's an availability to connect and to have the souls who have moved to the afterlife come back and really visit us. And the tradition of the ofrendas, originally, many of the objects on the ofrendas were to support the journey of the soul from life to death. Now we also have the tradition that links to welcoming them back. So, yeah.
All right. If you would like to join in our hang on, Armando, please. If you would like to join in our discussion about Dia de los Muertos, Halloween, All Saints and All Souls Days, there are several ways for you to participate. You may email comments to callinshow@kunm.org. You may post your comments on the Collin Show webpage at kunm.org. You may call our local number 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM, or our toll-free number 1-877-899-5866 with questions and comments. We have a question for you, listeners. Do we benefit when cultural traditions and rituals are blended, or is something lost for the blending? We'd like you to tell us your thoughts, and we'll pose that question to our panelists as well when we return from our short break.
David Sedaris is one of America's most popular humorists. He slices through cultural euphemisms and political correctness with ease. A master of satire and one of the most perceptive writers today, David Sedaris brings his very own special brand of humor to Popejoy Hall. He'll read from his works and add observations from his many travels. One performance only, Sunday, November 10th. Tickets and information at popejoypresents.com. A message from the tax-exempt Popejoy Hall. Music and mathematics that inspire hearts and minds. The Majesty of Music and Mathematics, Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Lensic. Featuring great music, exhilarating video, and narrative, Dr. Chris Moore of the Santa Fe Institute illuminates the beauty of music and mathematics with the symphony. David Feldberg conducting. Saturday, November 2nd, 7:30 p.m. at the Lensic. For details, call 988-1234. A message from the tax-exempt Santa Fe Symphony.
Welcome back to the KUNM Collin Show. I'm Kathleen Sabo, and today we're looking at seasonal traditions and rituals. I'm joined in the studio by Elsa Menendez, Education Outreach Coordinator at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, also by poet, writer, musician, artist, and more, Jaime Chavez. And I'm joined by phone today from Santa Fe by Armando Espinoza Prieto, artist, videographer, and editor for the Metamorphosis Documentation Project. And when we left, Armando, you were wanting to add something to our previous discussion. Please do.
Yes, just to finish that thought. The Celtic Day of the Dead, or however it's called, or it's referred to, did influence the celebrations of Day of the Dead. It all started with the cults to the saints and martyrs. First the saints, first the martyrs. They offer their life for the faith, and they were assigned days to honor them, and then from there they decided that they had to honor also the saints, even though they were not martyrs. And then the fieles difuntos, the faithfully departed, people that died on the grace of God. But all that really comes from Greco-Roman festivals of parentalia, of your ancestors. That was a 9-day festival. Nowadays, when people die, we do a novena, which is a 9-day ceremony for the dead person. But then when they went into the Celtic areas and tried to Christianize, there was this festival where they did believe that the dead would roam. That was the time of year. It was a harvest festival. It was the time of year where it was believed the souls would join the living. When first the church celebrated, the Catholic Church first celebrated the Fieles Difuntos feasts, it was in Pentecost. It was not in November. And then after the influence from the Celtic areas, they changed it to November 2nd, 1st, and 2nd. So there is so much in the Catholic tradition. There is so much influences from different religious points of view and traditions, and then mixed with the different religious and points of view and traditions in Mesoamerica, creates this incredible ceremony. But here in America, once the European tradition and the American tradition blended, syncretized, became something totally new, that it wasn't European and it wasn't Mesoamerican anymore, and that it's American, that became something totally different.
Well, and so much blending of rituals and traditions, it seems inevitable given our global community and the mixing of cultures. And let me begin by asking you, Jaime, the question that I posed about whether we benefit from cultural traditions and rituals that are blended, or is something lost for the blending?
Without a doubt.
Hang on. Let's let Jaime answer, Armando. First,
okay, I'm sorry.
No worries.
Is without a doubt, what we're talking about here is an incredible syncretism. And what has happened here is, for example, based on the springtime, the time when we bless our waters, no, with the tradition of San Isidro, right? We close at the end of the harvest season, right? Everything is now going to sleep. And so this is basically, as we would say in the overall universe, it's the cycle of life. And so this is the beauty of it, I think, is this blending, of this harmony. Okay, is that it's so based on the chemistry of the land and the harvest and the sharing of the fruits, and also I think with that in mind, you know, we share the fruits of our words, which is the beauty of poetry.
And Armando, you wanted to weigh in on this as well.
Yes. You know, I believe that cultures, if they don't change, if they don't evolve, they die, you know, basically. And the way cultures evolve and the way culture change is by acquiring different influences and appropriating them, transforming them. And I think that's healthy. I think, yes, some things might be lost. People tell me, oh, it's good your organization is documenting all these things, because when they're lost, we'll have your documentation. And I go, well, but that's not my motivation. Our motivation is really to try to infuse those traditions with more life, you know. Not to have them as a, not to document them as an object that can be shown as this is what it was, but document them as a tool for those traditions to reinvigorate themselves, and traditions can only reinvigorate themselves by changing, by evolving, by becoming new. It's in a sense almost like fashion, you know. People like different things. People, something comes into vogue within the spiritual space. Also, that can happen, you know, things come, you know, we were documenting dances in Oaxaca, I'm sorry, and these very important spiritual dances have changed, and at one time they were danced for a certain Christ or for a virgin, and now they're not. They're danced for another one. I'm sorry. So yes, I think it's very important that cultures evolve. It's very important that things change, and they have to change. I always say they have to change on the culture's own term. It can't be forced. When a change is forced, it's really not beneficial.
All right. And Elsa, before you weigh in, I want to let you know we have a web comment. Jennifer Bunce from Duke City Wheelmen would like to thank the Hispanic Cultural Center for including the ghost bikes in Dia de los Muertos festivities.
Oh, we're delighted to have that.
Excellent.
So
go ahead and weigh in on this topic of blending.
You know, I'll be brief because I very much agree with the way that Armando and Jaime have articulated the answer to this question. I agree that blending to me is about evolution, and it's about inspiration, and I like the language that Armando used, the idea of reinvigoration. My hope is that by continuing to celebrate Dia de los Muertos and continuing to encourage people to connect with it, it will continue to evolve and inspire, and it will be celebrated for you know, centuries to come.
And Armando, in listening to a podcast of another interview or show that you did, I heard you speak about the change to something social, the spell of tradition being broken, more secular and less magical. But perhaps there is some other magic that comes from the blending, the magic of connection, further connection, the magic of understanding, oneness, compassion, inclusion. So that's what we can...
I agree with that also. Like I said before, you know, in this modern celebrations of Day of the Dead that are not what was celebrated in these communities where the communal spirituality was shared, what happens with these contemporary celebrations, even though they acquire a more carnival-like appearance, it is bringing people together. It is creating community. It is, in a way, trying to reestablish that social spirituality.
Mm. Let's go ahead and bring in our next caller. It's Chewy from Albuquerque, who wants to talk about the South Broadway celebration. Good morning.
Good morning. Chewy Martinez here.
Hello, Chewy. Thank you for joining our conversation.
And thank you for this show. This is exactly what we need so people can understand the tradition, Dia de los Muertos. Well, you know, it's many of you know, the South Broadway was the first place that where Dia de los Muertos was celebrated publicly in 1981.
Mm.
So it is a long tradition of celebration. We tradition along with the Mexican consulate, who usually participate by bringing, you know, pan de muerto, food, drinks. But more than that, this year we have a movie that is going to be shown there it's sort of like a documentary that will explain the tradition of Dia de los Muertos in Mexico, starting at noon, from noon to 2. But in the gallery, we have, of course, you know, a lot of artists. They're going to have their work there, and approximately 20 very traditional altares celebrating different people, artists mainly, a lot of artists that are people set up altars for the artists. And then we have, of course, music, but the highlight of everything is also the dances of the death, because there's this traditional dances that are performed by a ballet folklorico called Halikik.
Well,
it'll take place approximately around 3 p.m. on Sunday.
And Chewy, thank you so much for your call today. What we have is a richness of events across the city, certainly, and people can pick and choose. And we have Jaime Chavez, who was involved last year with the South Broadway Cultural Center. And actually, on the phone, we have Armando Espinosa Prieto, who is the videographer of the documentary that you will be screening. So Chewy, thank you so much for your call today, and appreciate you reminding us about those events as well. Elsa, you'd like to comment?
Yes, first, hi, Chewy.
Get out, Chewy.
Also, I just want to say that as Chewy's pointing out, not only is there a South Broadway Cultural Center, but really all over the city and all over the state, there are different events. I think, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about Albuquerque and about New Mexico in general, is that you have a wide variety of possibilities to celebrate Dia de los Muertos.
And we certainly have links up to all the events and organizations. Jaime, I'd love for you to, you brought your flute with you today, and I'd love for you to play us a little something and tell us about what you're going to play, if you would please. Give us a sample of sure. What will happen on Saturday.
Before I do that, I just needed to say as well that when we open our event, that Ejecatl, Danza Azteca, no, will share danza, okay, which is to the four quadrants of the universe, a los cuatro cuadrantes del universo. They'll be stopping from the outside, and they will start from the outside of the theater, and they'll make their way in, no, as people come to the event, which will be starting at 6 p.m. With the danzantes, and curtain is at 7.
Okay, and if you would just play us a little something, we'd love it. Can you tell us a little bit about that piece, if you would, just briefly?
It's a flute piece, and it comes out of this reed right here that was hand-carved by somebody who probably may or may not be here now. Mm. And so it's a tribute to that spirit. And the tribute that we're doing in Requiem at the Quimo is to the memory of José Montoya, the greatest now passed on poet in Aztlan, here from New Mexico. Everybody thought he was from Californiano, right? That he was from Califas, Sacramento. But he's from Escobosa, New Mexico. And so what I'm going to read in a moment is a requiem to him.
And unfortunately, we won't have time for that today.
Well, then people will have to see it.
They will
the
have
show.
To come on Saturday to see it. I appreciate you playing that. So Saturday at...
At 6 p.m. is when people should arrive. The danzante is probably about 6:30, 6:45. Then everybody goes into the theater, and we will have the final dances there. And then we will have just an incredible, incredible lineup of poets, musicians, and artists at the Quimo.
And Elsa, remind us, I know it's a month-long celebration, but your Friday evening event.
We have something tomorrow evening from 5:30 to 7:30. People are welcome to just come and look at the Ofrenda exhibit, listen to some music, and have some pan de muerto and chocolate for free. It's our despedida.
And again, people can go to the website to get more information.
Absolutely.
About events that are happening all month long.
Yes.
Excellent. And Armando from Santa Fe, Armando Espinosa Prieto, thank you for joining us. And tell us a little more, just again, the timing of the events here at the South Broadway Cultural Center.
Well, the movie will be shown at the South Broadway Cultural Center. The movie's title is La Festividad de los Muertos, La Nishti Tugul, Shte Tugul. And it's they're going to show it on November 3rd at their Day of the Dead celebrations at 2 p.m., and then on the 7th, we'll be there at 7 p.m. to present the movie and a short talk on the indigenous Catholicism and how it manifests in Day of the Dead.
Okay. Well, thanks to our guest today, videographer Armando Espinosa Prieto, writer, artist, musician Jaime Chavez, and Elsa Menendez, education outreach coordinator at the National Hispanic Cultural Center, for making themselves available to our listeners. Thank you all.
Mil gracias.
Mm. And thanks to our callers for helping to develop our discussion today. Thanks to our engineer, Jefferson White, our assistant producer, Cave Movahead, and Andy Lyman. Michael Hess has handled our phones today. Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Kathleen Sabo. This has been the KUNM Collins Show on KUNM, news and music that connect from the University of New Mexico.